You, Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to the Wednesday night after Easter. And you know, they say a pastor goes through postmortem syndrome every Monday after you have an elated service on Sundays. And so you can only imagine after the high that we had Easter. We had 850 Easter. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. And the majority of those were guests. I haven't quite figured it out yet. I guess because we was having a drama. But a lot of our own people weren't here. If all of our church would have been here, we'd have had close to 1,200 people. And but I guess they felt like since it was a drama, they could take a break. And I'm glad Jesus didn't take a break on Sunday. Friend, I want to tell you the power of God was in this place. Every scene. And people weeping all over this congregation. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 15 if you want to turn there while I babble a little. And the presence of God was just so powerful. I can remember on several scenes just weeping. I loved the part where the lady came and washed the feet of Jesus with her hair. But the whole drama was just phenomenally anointed this year. Just incredible. And people, guests were leaving and just saying that we didn't know that we were coming to a professional drama. And that's just how good of a job our young people and the cast and Sister Tiffany and all the ones that put this together just did a great job. And we'll mention it again on Sunday a little bit, but just what a wonderful, wonderful time. And to our guests today, we do welcome you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. And good to see Sister Erica's neighbors are back with us. They were with us on Sunday, and they're back with us again. Lord bless them in Jesus' name. And what a wonderful time, we had. I want to add just a little bit to a couple announcements. We are giving some baskets away this Sunday to the family who has the most family members. And that's family members of any relationship whatsoever, Sister Katie Ann. So if they're your fifth cousin on your 12th cousin's third daughter's side, then they will count, honey. You just bring them in, and we'll count them. So we're looking for a great time. This coming Sunday, we're going to have a lot of fun. And then on the 14th, the coupon extravaganza that Brother Zapp was talking about is actually Sister Owen has, Sister Ricketts, I'm sorry, has been training our ladies during these difficult economic times. She's been training our ladies how to use coupons. And I think my wife and I saved a dollar something last time we went. Kind of hard to use them if you forget them at home. And so she'd go down the aisle and find the things that had coupon on. I said, baby, they raised that thing up $3, and then they tell you you're going to get a dollar off. And you end up paying $2 more than you'd have bought it last week for to put the coupon on it. But I'm not talking about the other kind of coupons. Sister Owen Ricketts in here, she allowed to beat me up for that. There she is in the back. And she can show you how to go to Publix. And they'll pay you $11 when you walk out the store. So she's got it down. And when you're feeding all the animals, we feed around our house. And I'm not talking about just my four. I'm talking about all your kids, too. Now, that's who I'm really feeding, all your kids that are over at the house all the time. Okay, and we don't mind. We love them. And we're just going to start sending them home with a bill. All right, Proverbs chapter number 15. Now, the month of April, we've had an incredible year this year. We had a month of intimacy in prayer, a month of intimacy in fasting, and then our month of March was a month of intimacy in the Word of God. And we did a complete media fast. And just what a transformation it does for your family, doesn't it? And for the church, when you just cut all of the media off and you just get right into the Word of God. And it was a great blessing. So this month is the month of intimacy with God and family. And the second most powerful relationship you will have on earth is your family. Those of you that are a little older than I am, and as you go through the years, you quickly begin to learn that the only thing that matters in this world is relationships. That everything else fades. Everything else just but relationships. First, your relationship with God. Second, your relationship with your family. And then third is your relationship with everything else that encompasses itself around about you. And relationships is the only thing that can bring you true joy. Nothing else can. Only relationships. So we need to work on those a little bit better, don't we? We need to try to fix them the best we can. How many have perfect families? Okay, good. So I am talking to the right crowd. All right. Only one hand went up, and he hasn't been married quite long enough. I'm just kidding. All right. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 13, and we're going to read verses 13 and 15. A merry heart, everybody say a happy heart, maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And we're going to use scripture as we go along. I'm just launching off with these. And I just felt my face. I left the house and forgot to shave. So really, I'm not backsliding. I just forgot to shave. I'm going to talk about six things that every family needs. And these six things I'm going to talk to us about tonight, time permitting, are six things that every family can have. But we have to work at it. It has to be premeditated. Something that we consciously decide to do. Marriage and family is full-time. It's a full-time job. And you have to work on it 24 hours a day. And if you let down, it'll get you. It'll get you in a bad way. Lord, for the next few minutes here tonight, I pray that you touch my mind and my heart as we teach the Word of God. There are wonderful families in this building tonight. I thank you for every man and every woman that has come out on a Wednesday evening to hear the Word. And whether we are single or married, and whether we have children or do not have children, we all have families. And I pray that somehow, Lord, that our understanding could be quickened and that wisdom could some way be imputed into our spirit and into our thinking, and that we may begin to work at a family that will bring glory to the name of Jesus. And we ask it in the mighty name of the Lord. And everyone say, amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. We're doing a little bit of talking today, different ones, and just talking about different subjects and talking about family came up just a little bit. We got a few phone calls today and a few situations pretty serious concerning family, and one of them dealing with one of our precious teenagers. And before I continue on to that, I do want to say as pastor that I'm very proud of our young people. And, you know, while we're in here, we have I don't know, anywhere's from 60 to 100. It just depends on how many of them show up. But in another room, having their own church and worshiping and praising God and praying through their peers to the Holy Ghost. I'm proud of our young people. We have a wonderful group of young people in this church. They love God. In fact, I was, it was kind of funny. And of course, my wife, when she realized what was going on, she played it, you know, all the way to the end. But this young man came up to me on Sunday and shook my hand. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Kyle." And I said, "Well, hello there. And so we're glad you're with us here today and glad that you've come and visited. God bless you." And so he went on in, you know, and then he came out a little while longer, and I saw him again, and I said, "Hey," and I talked to him again, and he smiled, and I didn't know him from Adam. To my knowledge, I had never met him. So he told my wife, he says, "I don't think your husband recognizes me." And she says, "Oh, this is going to be great." So she gets him by the hand and marches him down the aisle and says, "Brother Kyle." I said, "Hey, baby." She said, "Yeah." She said, "This brother right here wants this his first service." I mean, she can lie right through her teeth in the church house. She's amazing. She said, "This is his first service, and he wants to be baptized." And I said, "Oh, brother," I said, "that's great." I said, "We're going to be baptizing some mothers, and just join in. We'll let Mary know, and she'll take you there." And then Sister Kyle couldn't take anymore. She just started laughing. And it was Lewis. Lewis has only been coming to church for how long? A month. And I baptized him a while back, and he got the Holy Ghost. But his hair was on his shoulders. And he came here Sunday, and his hair is as short as mine. Probably a little shorter than mine. And I just didn't recognize him. God is transforming these precious young boys and young girls that are coming into the church, praying through and getting the Holy Ghost. God is changing their lives. And it needs to show us as a church, be patient. Love these kids. They're coming out of a tough world. The school system that they have to go to and the stuff that's pumped into their hearts and their minds every day, the neighborhoods that they live in, the situations that they're exposed to every single day. Listen, when we get them, let's be patient. And as long as God takes, I'll take. I mean, if they keep coming and lift their hands, then I'm right there with them. Let's do it. Let's praise God. Let's reach out to God. Let's touch God. Because somewheres down the line, the Holy Ghost is going to move on the inside of them, going to change their life. 2 weeks ago, that young man had his whole family in church. His whole family in church. God's doing incredible, incredible things. Family is by far the most powerful institution in the world. It is more powerful than the government of the United States of America. The government is not what is leading this country down a path away from God. What's leading this path away from God is the erosion of the family unit. The divorces and kids having to be raised without fathers or without mothers makes it difficult. Thank God when those precious mothers or dads are able to get in church, then the Bible says that God becomes a father to the fatherless. And I want to encourage you, Mom, if you're a single mother, that God will help you. And you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will help you with your children. And God will put men of this church into the lives of your children, your young men, and help raise them up. And he'll put women into the lives of the young of your young girls and help you to raise them up. But the Lord is the one that instituted the family unit. And God built the family unit in its perfection. He saw that it was not good that man be alone, so he gave man a woman. And then told man and woman to go and to replenish the earth. Go and propagate, have children. Go and bring forth offspring. And the word of the Lord teaches us as we study God's word, and we're not going to deal with a lot of that here tonight, but as we study the word of the Lord, God lays out foundations of the family that are not optional. They are mandatory. And if the family is going to be balanced and strong, then it needs to have these foundational teachings from God. Paul reiterates them so powerfully in his teachings in the New Testament, Corinthians and other books. But he talks about the order of the family. We're not going to deal with that tonight either, but we may touch it sometimes this month during Family Month. But he talks about the man holding that position of responsibility. And the wife submitting to her husband, and we certainly there's a lot of detail in that. God never called the woman the front door rug. Never meant for man to walk on his wife. In fact, the Bible commands us to love our wives even as Christ loved. And the Bible says he gave his life for the church. And then the word of the Lord commands the children that they should be obedient to mom and dad. And of course, there's so much more to all of that teaching. That is the skeleton of the teaching. And you have the dad who's leading the children who are obeying. And you have the wife whom God created in all of his wisdom, that is this incredible bridge between the father and the children, because there would be no children alive today if it was not for mothers, because dads would kill them all. So mom is that incredible, perfect balance in the house of God. But the things that I want to talk about here today are not dealing with any of these. I want to start out by saying that every family, every home needs laughter. I want you to say laughter with me. When you have a son like Luke, you have built-in laughter. I'll never forget this. If I live to be 130 years old, I will never forget this as long as I live. This was years ago. Luke was probably 4 or 5 years old. Skinny as a rail. Super lactose intolerant, and he's outgrown all of that a little bit, but he's a couple other things wrong with him. Now he's a track star. He did good. He came in second place running the 4x800 or something a couple of days ago. Did great. Great runner. So anyway, we're sitting at the table. I don't remember what caused him to say this, but it's just, we're sitting at the table and we're having supper, and there's my little redheaded son on the other end of the table. And I think he might have just got tubes out of his ears. He was still having a little trouble with his hearing. All that's healed up, thank the Lord Jesus. And there he is sitting, skinny as a rail. And someone said something, and out of the blue, he said, slapped his hand on the table and said, "Well, shave my head and call me fat." We just looked at him like, where in the world did that come from? And after about an hour, we pulled ourselves up off the floor. We were dying laughing so hard. And Luke has proven to be the laughter of the family through all of the years of his life. Every family needs laughter. We sit around all the time and we talk about it. The Kyle family does not need entertainment. We entertain ourselves. And we just laugh at one another and have fun with one another. And we can sit at a table and just talk and laugh for hours and play a game together and laugh. And all of that, I'm going to tell you, it didn't come from Dad. Because Dad is the crunched eyebrow, hard, mean, rule, one that walks in the kitchen and says, whose job is that? Drives up into the driveway and walks in the house and doesn't even say, I love you, Joel. It's, Joe, you forgot the trash cans out by the street. Go get them. So it wasn't Dad. It was Mom. But I guess what I'm trying to say right here is that every family member has a strength. And if we can find that strength in ourselves and introduce that into our family, then it will strengthen the family overall. And the laughter, of course, comes from, everybody knows where that comes from, right? Sister Kyle. Certainly doesn't come from me or anyone else, but it comes from Sister Kyle. And slowly through the years, she's gotten a little bit of the meanness out of me. And slowly through the years, I've made her a little mean. So we tried to, one of my famous statements is, stop acting like me. That's my job. But laughter has a way of breaking the tension. And we're all struggling today. There is not a family that's not struggling in some form or fashion. It might be financially, or maybe you have a son or a daughter that you wish was acting different or doing different. Maybe they've gone a little astray. Maybe there is other problems or situations. It could be health in the heart or in the body, health in the soul. Just a lot of things that can bring tension into a home. And if we can learn as a family to get together and appreciate one another's presence and learn to laugh together. And so, Dad, for this to happen, you are going to have to predetermine in your mind and heart to lay your job down when you come home. You're going to have to determine to lay your job down. You're going to, Brother Jones, you're going to have to leave your job problems at the job, but bring your secretary home with you. You happen to be married to her. One of the few men that can have a relationship with a secretary and get away with it. Brother Mackey, is Sister Mackey your secretary? No? Well, you might want to make her your secretary. It helps out in the long run. My wife's my secretary, and I love every minute of it. In fact, people will walk in, and I'll say, I'm married to her. This is my wife. Because they'll catch us doing things that pastors and secretaries shouldn't be doing. My wife got so tickled one time. She was in my office, and this is when we was in the trailers out in front of the property, and the copier guy came in. Walked into the trailer part, and I said, who in the world is that? So I walked out, I said, oh, my God, it's the copier guy. And then here I am in the room with a strange woman, as far as he's concerned. So I say, stay here, baby. So I walk out, and she never listens to anything, so she comes out. So I say, this is my wife. Have you met my wife? Have I introduced you to my wife? This is my wife. And my wife laughed because she said about 10 times, I said, this is my wife. And we were in the office together, but we're married. This is my wife. So, Anyway, how I got off on all of that, I have no clue. But so if we're going to have laughter in the home, then we have to predetermine to leave some things behind. And men, we cannot bring the difficulties of the job home, even if it means crossing the backyard, Brother Mackey. When we walk through the door, we cannot bring our job in. Ladies, for all, most of you here probably work. And the struggles of your job, when you come home, we as a family have got to learn not to bring that into the house. Because then you bring that stress home, and instead of laughter in the home, you have stress and you have tension. And then dad says something and mom flares up and the kids are just caught in the middle of everything. And now the kids aren't in here, but we'll have to teach them and that they need to leave their troubles where they are too. When we sit down at the table for supper at night, that is a time of family. And we don't talk about problems. We talk about the good things that God's done for us. When we play a game, we leave problems outside of that. We have fun. We've learned to talk together and laugh together, wrestle together, do things together as a family. Because tomorrow, you get right back up. And you've got to go right back into that world. And you have to face the difficulties of your job, the difficulties of your coworkers, the difficulties of life in general. And if you can carry a little bit of laughter with you from home, it goes a long way. And so if we're going to bring laughter into our homes, we are going to have to predetermine to do that. That is something that we have to do. And what does the word of the Lord say about laughter? The word of the Lord tells us that what? Laughter is considered to be a medicine. That a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That word merry heart simply means laughter. And so when we bring laughter into our home, we bring medicine into our home. And what does medicine do? Medicine heals. And so when we come home and we're wounded and we're bruised and our kids have been picked on by bullies, and we taught our kids, when you're picked on by a bully, when you hit them, make sure you hit them good. No, that's not what we taught. What am I thinking? We taught them that you don't retaliate against bullies much, and that you treat them with the love of Christ. So, but they get hurt, they get bruised, they come home, things are said, etc. Difficult times. So we have to teach our children that there's a time when to talk about these things. And we have to learn as spouses, and I'm going to talk about that next, and I'm certainly not going to get to all six of these tonight, but we have to learn as spouses that there are times to talk about our difficulties, and there are times not to talk about our difficulties. They're there, and guess what? They're not going anywhere. They followed you home, you left them out at the front door, and you can walk out that front door and pick them up anytime you want. They're going to be waiting for you right there. They're more faithful than the pet dog. Your problems are not going anywhere, trust me. So you can lay them down, and you can pick and choose when to talk about it. And if you're going to have a family that learns to laugh together, and I wish I could tell you how important this is. There is no more enjoyable times in my life is when I take a deep breath and lean back in my chair because my family is together laughing and having a good time. And we need to work towards that. Man, the second thing, everybody say, laughter needs to be in our home. And the second thing is, say that I need to learn to listen. I wish I had my cell phone with me. It's in my truck. My little girl, Hannah, left me a message about 4 months ago. And I keep hitting that save button. I'll listen to it and then I just resave it because it'll erase it if I don't do that. And she left me a message about 4 months ago. And she just said, She said, "Daddy, this is Hannah." And she said, "I want to tell you that you are my greatest hero." And she went on and on and on about how incredible I am. And I'm just nodding my head yes while I'm listening to this. Now. Kidding. Actually, I'm crying. So she's telling this. But in there, she said something that really caught my attention. She said, "I have never come to you with a problem that you have not laid everything down that you were doing and sit down and look me straight in the eyes and listen and let me cry on your shoulder and let me tell you about all of my problems." I learned something a while back. The Lord helped me. I can't fix her problems, but I can listen to them. And I'm going to tell you something else I learned about my children that I wish all of the parents would learn. Stop fighting their battles. Be there for them. Be a strength for them. But get out of the fight. Because I found out that all I do is cause bigger problems. And another thing I found out is if I'll shut up long enough, those two that are fighting will be best of friends in a few days. But if I get in it and their mama gets in it, when they walk off as best of friends, me and mama still fighting. Because parents fight a long time. Kids get over it. So I learned a long time ago, as long as I can look at it and see that there's not real abuse going on, I've let my children fight their own battles. You have never seen your pastor ever. There's not a saint in this church that has ever received a phone call from me talking to you about the way one of your children or the way that you as an individual spoke to one of my kids. But I promise you they've come home 1,000 times. Crying, feelings hurt, asking for advice how to handle situations. I'm not going to fight their battles, but I'm going to tell them how to fight with love and patience, how to apologize when they're not in the wrong, how to take the blame when it's not their fault. And I said, and if you'll learn to do these things, Christ will give you strength and you will defeat the enemy that's in your life. As moms and dads, we need to quit trying to solve the problems of our children, but we need to be there to listen and to teach them how to solve their own problems. Let me tell you how you need to respond to this, Hannah. Let me tell you how you need to handle this, Luke. Let me tell you what you need to do in this situation, Caleb. This is how you handle this. This is how you be the man of the situation or the woman of the situation. There is a time to talk about our problems. And one of the greatest difficulties in the family is that parents have become so busy that we do not take the time to listen to our children. And if we don't let them pour out their sorrows to us, then they're going to find someone to pour them out to. And I don't want anyone giving advice to my children but me or their mother. Amen? Amen. So we need to learn to pay attention to our children. Instead of being so consumed with ourselves. Because sometimes they won't actually say anything. You have to pick up on it. And you got to go, "Hey, Caleb, let's go play some basketball." And you go outside and you pick up the basketball. You say, "What's up, bud? What's going on?" "Nah, everything's fine, Dad." "Nah, I'm sorry, buddy. Something's going on. I just want to be here for you." And then next thing you know, we'll start talking about a situation at college. Or maybe it's Luke, and Luke knows we talk about things all the time. He'll come to Dad and he'll ask this situation, this problem. Maybe they're witnessing to someone in school. We'll talk about the best way to approach that. How do you handle certain circumstances when you go visit a friend at someone else's home and they're doing certain things and you don't want to be rude or ugly? How do you handle that? And as parents, we need to learn to sit and just listen. I constantly tell myself, this is my favorite word when my children are talking to me. I don't say it out loud, I say it to myself. Shut up. Shut up. I'm telling me, shut up. Because about every fifth word, I want to insert something. And I go, shut up. Just listen. That's all they want. Just listen. And then maybe somewhere in the progress, after I've heard it all, I'll try to address something in it. Usually, they'll find their own answers while they're talking. Because God's in them too. Amen? So we need to work on that. We need to know when to listen. Now, what I mean by when to listen is we need to know, our children need to learn this, and as spouses, we need to learn there is moments to talk about situations and there are moments not to talk about them. Because we have to have laughter in our homes. Spouses, we've got to learn to sit and listen to one another. We are so quick to try to defend our position rather than just completely hear out what our spouse is trying to say. I learned that 90% of the time when I open my mouth, my foot goes in. But if I'll just be quiet and listen to my sweetheart and let her talk, first of all, I'll find out that what I was going to say was stupid. Because it had nothing to do with what she was talking about. I just had a God moment and felt like I knew everything. And so I learned that real fast. How many of you have ever done this? When you have been lucky enough to actually not say anything and just listen, how many of you have walked away from a conversation saying to yourself, I am so glad I didn't say what I was about to say? You ever done that? Or how about, I know no one in here, so this is all the other couples, and or it doesn't have to be husband and wife, it could be brother, sister, whatever, and there's a heated argument for some reason and things are flying through your brain, but for some unknown reason you literally was capable of keeping your trap shut. And you walk away from that and you cool down and you start thinking sensible again. And you go, oh my God, I can't believe what almost came out of my mouth. You ever done that? Now, how many of us didn't keep our mouth shut and walked away and cooled down and said, I can't believe I said that? I hope you had enough manhood or womanhood to get back up and go apologize. Y'all may not know this, but half of my life is apologizing. Half of my life is apologizing. I learned I get better meals and a whole lot better loving if I can just learn how to apologize. Kissing. So everybody say laughter. We need to bring laughter into our homes. And if we're going to do that, we have to purpose it. It has to be something that we manipulate. And we have to control our thoughts and control our tongues, control our actions. And we have to allow laughter to come in. And for some of you, you're such humdrums that is going to be a very difficult thing to do. But you can do it. the Lord wants us to laugh. We're made in his image, and he wants us to know how to laugh and to rejoice. And he wants us to know how to listen. And in listening, as parents or brothers, siblings, learning to listen to our other siblings, as friends learning to listen to friends, as spouses learning to listen to spouses, let them say everything that they want to say. Quit trying to have the answers. That's a lot of time that's our problem, is we don't have the answer, and because we don't have the answer, we feel inadequate. Most of us don't have the answers. That's what prayer is about, and waiting on God. But just to have someone that you know you can, a confidant that you can trust. And I probably shouldn't even have to go here, but I certainly hope, as a husband or as a wife, that you never, ever repeat anything that was given to you by your spouse in confidence, even in laughter or as a joke. I remember, it's been a long time, but it was so deeply ingrained in me. It wasn't that serious, not to me anyway, obviously it was to Elizabeth years ago. And just hanging around with the guys and said something, you know, we're all laughing and talking about our ladies and, you know, how ignorant men do. And one of the guys later said something, and it devastated my wife that I had talked about that. And I learned a valuable lesson that when my wife is speaking to me, that she never, ever expects that to be repeated. And if we're having a conversation and she repeats it, it's open territory. Everybody's game then. Your spouse should be able to pour themselves out to you and walk away knowing that you feel the same about them before the conversation as you do after the conversation. Your children, I tell my children all the time, I say, sons, let me tell you something. Your dad is a man. And I went through every stage. The toys might be different, but the feelings are the same. I understand lust, temptation, greed, envy, covetousness. I understand all of these things. There is nothing that you can't come to me and talk to me in private about, then I'm going to look at you and go, what? Because the Bible says that there is no temptation. None, Brother Patrick, that has taken us that is not common to man. Everybody faces all of them. And our family, your children, spouse, they need to have that confidence that they can come to you, and when they're done talking to you, you love them just as much. You don't think down about them or bad or ashamed or any of that. And the best way to establish that, Dad and Mom, is to be open with them and let them know that you're not near as spiritual as they think you are. And that there's a whole lot more humanity to you than they could ever dream. They have to know that we are just as frail as they are. But we've learned some things, and we can help them if they'll come to us. And so if we're going to have a strong family, we're going to have to be a family of listeners. I believe James said it. I have it here in my notes, I think, somewhere. Yeah, James 1:19. I'm going to come to a close with this. James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Slow to and slow to wrath." So the Bible tells us that we need to learn to tell ourselves to shut up. And I've made that a practice in my life. Even when I'm counseling and someone will come in and we're counseling, I'm constantly telling myself, let them talk. Be quiet. Hush. Nope, that's not the right answer. Keep listening. And by constantly telling yourself, you'll learn to be a good listener. All the time I'll have people, they'll be talking to me on the phone and they'll say, "Are you there?" "Yeah, I'm here. You want me to breathe loud? I mean, what do you want me to do?" I didn't say that, of course. That's just what I thought. I said, "Yes, I'm here, but I'm listening. I'm trying to follow you, trying to figure out where are you going so that I can give an answer that's applicable to the situation." So when you've achieved the point when they look at you and say, "Are you listening?" Now, I'm not talking about if you start snoring and they have to shake you and say, "Are you listening?" That's a different subject there. But listen good enough that they have to stop and look at you and say, "Well, what do you think?" But most of us, the person talking to us doesn't have that opportunity, do they? We're so busy giving them answers as we all just kind of talk alone through it and get it all worked out. So everybody say laughter. Say listening. Two things that if we can bring into our family, I've got four more, but we'll talk about them later. The Lord helps us. Will help strengthen our families. So what do you say? We go home, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, we work on bringing laughter, and we work on listening to our family. Can we do that? Praise God. Amen. Let's stand. And wow, can you imagine that I actually taught an entire lesson?